Welcome to Local Matters. I'm your host, Jeremy Wynn, talking today with Angie Givens, of the Upper Cumberland Coordinator for TNCC R&R. So we're going to start with you explaining what that is. Welcome.
Okay. I am Angie Givens. I'm the coordinator for Upper Cumberland Tennessee Child Care Resource and Referral.
Okay. That's a long business card title.
It is. Yes, it is.
And I know that all of those pieces are important in that title. So how long have you been with TNCC R&R?
I've worked with TNCC R&R for about 10 years altogether.
Okay. So, and you're the director, I'm assuming the Upper Cumberland coordinator, you're covering quite a few counties?
Yes. I'm the coordinator for Upper Cumberland, which covers 18 counties. So we go all the way up to the Kentucky line with Clay County, down to Cannon County, over to Trousdale, and to Ronan, Scott, and Morgan on the east side.
Okay. So quite a few counties.
Yes. We have over 150 agencies that we work with, and that's about 1,200 educators that we work with.
Okay. So a big group of constituents, really, that you serve across that area. And I know that some of those districts, some of those counties by themselves are really large. So somebody must spend a lot of time on the road.
Yes. Geographically, we have the largest region in the state. Tennessee Child Care Resource and Referral covers the entire state. We're a statewide program. We have 8 different regions, and Upper Cumberland is just one of those regions.
Okay. So let's start with a little bit about you then.
Okay.
So one of the questions I always ask, this is the education segment for Local Matters, and so I always want to know a little bit about the person I'm talking to. So who was your favorite teacher growing up? It's always my first question.
My favorite teacher growing up was my third grade teacher. Her name was Mrs. Wade, and I ended up marrying a man named Wade.
Okay.
And so I thought that was kind of foretelling of my future, but she was a wonderful teacher. She took a lot of extra time individually with me and really got to know me. She became a friend of our family. She made me feel special, and I just really, really love her. So.
And was this locally? Is this in Tennessee?
I grew up in Roane County.
Roane County.
Yes,
okay.
In Rockwood.
Okay, very good. Well, I grew up right across the line in Morgan County.
Okay, great.
So,
yeah.
So we can talk off air about the competitiveness of the schools between Morgan and Roane.
I have a lot of relatives that live in Morgan County. So.
Yes, and so that's part of what I was thinking when you were saying that service area.
Mm-hmm.
I know just how wide of a geographical area that side is. You know, much less just coming across Cookeville and Clay County, and so that is a wide area to cover, certainly.
Yes, we have several coaches that work in our region, and they cover all 18 counties, and so it's nothing to drive for 3 hours in one day just to serve a couple of agencies. So, mm-hmm.
So how did you end up with this organization? Were you in education before, or were you in management? How do you? Because I'm not familiar, and some of the listeners may not be familiar with the organization anyway. And so how did you end up with the organization, and what does that look like for someone who's working for TNCC R&R?
Okay. I have always worked with children. I was the oldest grandchild on both sides of my family, and I was the oldest child. So I've always had that in me to work with children and to care for children. I spent a lot of time working in childcare during my college years. So then when I graduated from college, I ended up being a stay-at-home mom for 17 years, and I worked in the childcare in the church setting where I was over the preschool program. When I did finally go back to work, I ended up working with the Stevens Center for 3 years, and I was a home visitor, which I would go in and work with new moms with parenting skills and help them with resources. So from there, it just was a natural progression to go into CCR&R, where we go in and work with child care agencies.
Okay. So part of the reason I asked that is because with the state of education today, You know, we have a hard time getting enough teachers to come into our programs. I'm in the College of Education. And so to come into our programs and then go on to the schools, a lot of our pathways are non-traditional. You know, we have more students coming in now, non-traditional pathways. And so I'm always interested in people who are working in education in some form or fashion. Because, I mean, this is certainly an education themed program that you're working for. And so I'm always trying to think through how people got into education, how they got there. And it's funny because sometimes someone will start with, my favorite teacher was this person, and they just told me I was going to be a great teacher. And from that day forward, I always wanted to be a teacher, you know, and I found my way into education. Yes. So I'm always looking for those little bits, those little nuggets of how people got ended up working with children, because it is a calling in many ways.
Definitely. It's a ministry.
Yeah.
I started with CCR&R as a family engagement quality coach, and so I would work with the agencies to have a better communication and better relationships with their families and try to get that, as help them get that established through parent advisory boards. And eventually then I moved into the position of coordinator. So that was a natural progression from working with families in their homes into working with families in child care agencies. So that's one way that I got to this position. So
okay. And I know there are a lot of moving parts with CCR&R.
Mm-hmm.
So if you could give me a couple minute elevator pitch.
Okay.
What does the agency do?
Okay, Tennessee Child Care Resource and Referral. We're a statewide program, we're nonprofit, and we're funded through the Department of Human Services. We are statewide, whereas we have eight different regions. Each region has a team of coaches, and all of those coaches serve a different purpose. We have an early childhood quality coach that works with educators that serve 3 to 5 year olds. We have infant toddler quality coach who works with educators who serve infants that are 0 to 3 years old. We have health, safety, and supervision coaches who go in and work with educators on supervision issues or any kind of health, like as far like the COVID, when we had COVID, they worked with different ways, sanitation and ways, procedures to help educators during COVID. We have a literacy quality coach that goes in and works with literacy, developmental support coach that goes in and works with children with disabilities. We have a small business coach that goes in and works with the directors or the owners, because a lot of people don't get into this business because they want to own a business. They get into it because they care about children. And so they may not have those skills, but that small business quality coach can go in there and work with them on small business skills. We also have certain coaches that work with family and group homes. And family and group homes are those agencies that are maybe in the home or in a separate building where they serve. One educator can serve 7 children, whereas 2 educators in a group home can serve up to 12 children. So those are your smaller agencies. And we also have our family engagement quality coach. And all of these coaches, we work with DHS really closely. There's a certain number of training hours that educators have to have, and so we provide those training hours. But also, if DHS goes into an agency and sees that they have maybe a need in a certain area, then they will refer to one of our quality coaches, which is where my position comes in, to make sure that those coaches are use those referrals to go out into the agencies and provide those services to support educators. So we do training with support. We provide a lot of resources to agencies. As far as books, we gave every agency, and all of these agencies are DHS licensed agencies. So we gave a whole set, a lending library to each agency. We gave a whole set of social, emotional, educational supplies, resources to agencies. So we provide a lot of different resources to these agencies.
Okay. Wow. That's a lot.
That's a lot. Yeah.
I didn't realize the scope of the program.
Mm-hmm.
So many different moving parts there. And I can see, you know, knowing that there's a shortage in high quality childcare.
Definitely.
I can see how all of those things could play a role, you know, because if you think about the in-home caretakers, who, like you mentioned, with the business training, you know, who just love kids, but then all of a sudden they end up, you know, they've got seven kids and they've got all these checks and bills and expenses and they got to do taxes and, you know, all that, all the business side of it, you know, all the way scaled all the way up to a larger, you know, a larger setting. All of those things, every single piece that you covered seems like a vital part of having a successful childcare.
Yes, it can be overwhelming whenever, and there's a lot of different grants that are offered for childcare agencies. So just the business side of it can be very overwhelming, and that's when we added the small business. I think that that was a very vital key role for the resources that we provide for agencies.
Yeah, and then to know that there is training.
Yes.
I know that sometimes it can be overlooked, the amount of training and knowledge and compliance that even in-home daycares have to follow. You know, it's not, it's like, oh, the kids show up and you know, we're going to watch them and make them peanut butter jelly sandwiches and, you know, hang out for the day. I mean, it's never that simple.
No,
and
it's not
that
simple.
There's so many more layers. And I think sometimes people outside don't see that. They don't see everything that goes into the background.
Yes, and that takes us to our why we're so important, because we know that brain development is so vital during those first 5 years, those first three especially. So what we hope to do is to provide this education and support for these educators so that they can nurture and foster that developmental process for these children during that most crucial time. So
so much along the way. Well, let's take a short break, and then we'll come back and talk a little bit more about some of the programs that you offer. Welcome back to Local Matters. I'm your host, Jeremy Wendt, talking with Angie Givens today, the Upper Cumberland coordinator of TNCCRNR. Got all those little letters right. So we were talking before the break a little bit about some of the different areas that you all cover, way more than I realized. I didn't know how many different things there were, you know, layers of support. And it's good, especially if there are, you know, workers or people who are thinking about starting their own daycare, preschool, you know, it's good to know the resources available and talk to the people who, you know, who coordinate those. I know this organization, when I looked it up online, started a long time ago with kind of almost like a passion project by a lady, a teacher in the late 90s. And so how did it get from there to where we are today? And what are some of those little side paths that it's experienced along the way?
Yes, over the last 25 years, things have really changed. Just the landscape of childcare has changed. But in the late 90s, like you said, it was a lady out of Chattanooga. It started through a nonprofit agency, Signal Centers. That's where we're housed out of, Signal Centers in Chattanooga. So it started very small, and it eventually grew to where it became a statewide program. So it's been 25 years of a lot of changes and a lot of growth and a lot of needed services that are being provided across the state.
Yeah, and it seemed like that you know, she had a heart for making sure that people who are taking care of children were prepared.
Yes.
And had resources as much as possible. You know, she saw that, it sounded like she saw that need for support. And to me, it's interesting how one person's just ideas could blossom into something, you know, that covers the whole state.
Yes. Her vision was, she saw the need and she made sure of it. It started in her locally in her area in Chattanooga, and eventually it grew.
So imagine it started small, but then I know over the years there have been lots of other programs that have grown out of that. So one of the ones that you mentioned was the Wages program. Will you tell me a little bit about that one?
Yes, Wages is a program that started in 2019. It is a supplemental income program. It's grant funded. Originally it started in North Carolina, and Tennessee picked up the project in 2019. The purpose of this program is to add stability to the workforce and maybe some consistency, because we know that consistent care is key to creating a healthy environment for children. So kind of to reduce the turnover. And what it is a supplemental income that teachers can use for whatever they need, whether it's to pay bills, go on vacation, whatever they need. And it's based on the number of years that the educator has worked with the agency and also the number of years, the level of education. And this is hopefully to raise the profession also, to encourage them to go for more education and encourage them to stick around with these agencies, because we know that this is something, it's an issue with turnover rate in childcare. So this is something to alleviate that. And in the last, since 2019, as of April 2025, they have given away $20 million to over 4,000 educators. So it's something that has really been so beneficial to our educators, and hopefully we'll be continuing that. So
It's obviously made an impact.
Yes.
At this point.
And the governor just recently decided to support this and has gave money to support the wages program.
Okay.
In the state.
Well, that's exciting. And I know that just based on the number of emails and phone calls that we get in the College of Education,
yes,
seeking additional help, seeking part-time work, full-time work, I could imagine that there is a lot of turnover.
Yes.
In a lot of ways, similar to what we're experiencing in the K-12 schools. And I know that there are a lot of college workers who work part-time, but there's not necessarily a requirement for education to be a worker in a setting for pre-K or K in this type of environment. I know there's not necessarily a requirement, but it would be nice if
Definitely.
People had the education.
Yes, and that's what this that's what this is trying to promote, trying to encourage them to go. And we have a program, a partner that we work with, TECTA, who offers education and associate. They can go in and get their CDA, which is a child development associates, and they can go on and get their bachelor's and eventually their master's if they work with a program. So that program is very vital to increasing the education levels of our educators. So,
mm-hmm. And I know we've worked with TECTA some at Tennessee Tech, and it makes sense.
Yes.
that those opportunities are there. Ultimately, somebody has to pay for it.
Yes.
And there are always grants but there's always could be more. You could always have more from the legislature. So do you ever spend time in Nashville talking to legislators or trying to convince them about something that you feel is a good cause or more funding could go towards?
Well, actually, since we are a grant-funded program, that's something that, is discouraged that we do. But we do want to make sure that all the legislators are aware of what we do and the importance of it. So that is something that we're always open to talk to them and to educate them on how important the services that we're providing and that our partners are providing.
Mm-hmm. And I don't think that, it's funny because I don't think that I never run into anyone who says that early childhood care is not important.
Yes.
Everyone agrees that mm-hmm. there's a need and that it's important that you have good care, but then I feel like it's not always a priority.
Definitely. There's so much money that's put into colleges, and so we need to probably invest in our early childhood care as much as we do our college education. So it's something that I think more people are realizing, with the more education that we have on brain development and how it's so crucial the first 3 years, and what a tremendous responsibility that these educators have in childcare to provide those developmentally appropriate activities and those developmentally appropriate practices that help foster that growth and that development.
Because even in childcare settings, there's still curriculum.
Definitely.
They're still
yes.
learning. Again,
yes.
I think sometimes you get misperceptions about what's happening in a childcare facility. I mean, it's very organized, and there is curriculum, and there is playtime and free time, and those things happen. But
yes.
Sometimes I think that the learning gets overlooked.
Definitely, we want to encourage child led activities we want to encourage, you know, what the children are interested in, but also provide that structure and information and those opportunities for children to learn. So, yeah, curriculum is something that we work with educators on. We provide lots of different resources and lots of different ideas of how to deliver information, whether it be through science, math, STEM is very important, arts and reading and literacy.
Yeah, and the literacy piece has been
very
big.
Important.
It's been
yes.
very big for the past few years, and I don't see that getting any less important.
No.
And the earlier the better, really, with literacy, because if you can read quicker, you know, if you can accomplish those skills and literacy sooner, you can be more successful later on. So, well, let's take a short break, and then we'll come back and talk through a few more questions about the organization.
Okay.
Welcome back to Local Matters. I'm your host, Jeremy Wendt, talking to Angie Givens, Upper Cumberland Coordinator for TNCC-R&R. I'm going to have that memorized by the end of the segment. So one of the other questions that I had as we were talking before the break about the status of childcare in general in Tennessee. Mm-hmm. So we hear things, we see stories on the news about how there aren't enough workers or there's problems here and problems there. Just in general, what do you see as the status of childcare and where do we need improvement, or where do we need growth, or what are your thoughts on that? You're in it every day.
Okay. Well, I do know that we have several childcare deserts across Tennessee where there's just not enough spaces for children. We have limited number of spaces and more children than we can accommodate right now. That is something that we work on, that our partners work on. We have grants available across the state through Childcare Tennessee. They provide grants, stabilization grants, to help stabilize an agency, provide resources that they need. But we also have grants we have supplemental grants, and we have grants that are available to new agencies who are wanting to. People who are interested in opening an agency, then there's grants that are available for them. We work with DHS. They're our partners as well as our funders, and they have a pre-licensure program that if you are interested in opening a childcare agency, then you can contact us or you can contact DHS, and they will walk you through the process of everything that you need to do. We also have our small business specialists that help agencies that are starting out. So, There are efforts to stabilize the community of childcare, as far as like the wages program that we talked with supplemental salaries. We work really hard to provide educators with the resources that they need so that they don't feel overwhelmed, because we know childcare, working with young children, is exhausting, and mm-hmm. it is a really hard job. And so that's why our program is in place, to support them so that they can be successful. And in turn, our families feel supported, and we have a community that's healthy. And so childcare across the state, I think we are in a better position than we were. COVID really took a hit on us, as well as every institution and agency. So it's something that we've built back up since COVID. There were a lot of things that were challenging during that time, but I think we're getting back to a good place. We have a lot of support out there with a lot of our partner agencies to support the agencies across the state. So I think things are better than they were. But like I said, we've had a building back time period in the last few years. So.
Yeah, and that was a difficult time.
Yes.
For childcare, for education in general.
Definitely.
Moving through COVID. I know that there are lots of agencies around the Upper Cumberland. I had made a note just about UCHRA and UCDD. Mm-hmm. Do you work with those agencies? Are there other agencies that you work with? Do you work with the cities or the counties, or just do you work with everybody?
We work with a lot of the community partners and community leaders. We have our partner agencies that all work for DHS, and that's our TECTA, AIM High, which is the Association for Infant Mental Health. We work with Aim High. We work with Tennessee Child Care. They provide the grants and support. We also work with different we work with Upper Cumberland Child Council on Children and Youth. I'm the secretary. I'm on the board of there. And so they provide a lot of trainings for people who work with children. We do a lot of our trainings at the Upper Cumberland Developmental District, and we work with them on – they have a grant for new agencies that are opening up, and so we do work with them on some in some instances. You know, we anytime we can get out in the community is a good thing to work together, because as you work with – as a team with people who are working with children in our area, then you can support each other. And so – we do our family engagement program works with we work with the educators and the agencies, but we also want to support families also, because and the families that are in the communities. So
a lot of moving parts.
A lot of stuff going on. We got a lot of good stuff going on.
Yeah, so. And the coordination there, and I imagine just something as simple as word of mouth between the child care providers would be a huge deal. You know, if one of them has applied for a grant successfully and then someone says, oh, I'm thinking about starting my own place, you know, check here. I mean, I'm sure that you all just having that visibility would make a huge difference.
Yes, we definitely – they are a community, all of the providers in our area. They know each other. They support each other. We have so many needs, child care needs that there's enough for everybody, so it's not a competition. Mm-hmm. And we have our trainings, then usually all of the educators from different agencies come. They know each other. They support each other. So it's a great community to be a part of, and there's a lot of support there for each other. We do have some peer learning groups where we have like directors that will get together that support each other, director support groups, and so it's a great community.
Yeah, it's good to know that support network is there.
Definitely, yes.
Because I would be concerned about someone who had their own small, childcare facility with 15 or 20 kids and just not having the resources or knowing who to call when there's a question. You know, that would concern me as a parent.
But, yes.
So it's good to know that there are resources out there and that there are things available. I know one of our facility that we have at Tennessee Tech, the Child Development Lab.
Yes.
When I talked to the director there, I know that the waiting lists are huge.
Yes, they are.
So, and I know that facility is one of the more expensive ones mm-hmm. because, we have licensed teachers in every classroom, essentially, who are teaching. But they also do infants. You know, they watch infants, and I know infants are more expensive. So I know mm-hmm. I know there's a lot of ins and outs, but there's a big waiting list. So is that something that you see at a lot? I know with my children, we got on a waiting list very early, to make sure that we could eventually get into a place. What are your thoughts on addressing that? Because I know that's a common issue,
yes.
Just not enough seats.
Yes, definitely. In Putnam County, we really do. We need, but we have had two or three new agencies open up just in the last 6 months. So it is something that we're starting to see more people interested in providing childcare. It can be very expensive, but we do have the child certificate program where DHS provides support for families who can't afford child care. So we do have that support in place. I don't know exactly what the answers are. I know that, DHS is working really hard to provide that support so people who are interested can open more agencies so that we can have those spaces available. It's something that we have several great Head Start programs that don't take infants, but they're working on that to try to get infants to be included to open infant rooms in the Head Start programs. So that's something that they're working on. It is an issue that families do have trouble sometimes. Mm-hmm. But we're working on that, and we've got systems in place and supports that hopefully are going to alleviate some of that.
Yeah, and I think as a family, most of the time it would be great if a parent could stay home, but that's not always
the reality. Possible, yes.
And so if somebody has to work, then you know, you have to have a place, you know, and you want it to be a place somewhere where you feel comfortable leaving your child.
Yes.
And so it is a difficult thing, it's hard to call a place and say, well, yeah, you can start your child here in a year.
Yeah,
you know, that's not helpful if you're a new parent and you're really trying to find that space for your child. And I don't know the answers either.
Right, yeah.
You know, I think that there's a lot of moving parts with the school systems, but even with school systems, you're still not really getting down to the infant, you know, the infant levels. That it seems like that 0 to 18 month age is probably one of the most difficult spots to find.
It definitely is. People have babies that are not even here yet that are on the waiting list. You know, it's something that is an issue. But hopefully the support that we're providing for agencies, that we can encourage them to maybe open those infant classrooms. And so that's where we're working right now.
Yeah. And having these conversations in all the districts, all the counties, all over mm-hmm. the Upper Cumberland, does it look a lot different, the conversation in Clay County versus Putnam County or White County? Or are you basically just having the same conversations? We need good care, and you know, we'll help you start a program if you want to start a program.
Yeah, it does look a little different in some of the more rural areas of our region. Some of our counties only have Head Starts. They don't have the child care with infant toddler available. So it is something that is a problem across the region. But that's one thing that's good about this, that we're doing this, because I think people need to know what the supports and what resources are out there available. If you are interested in opening a child care agency, then you can get in contact with us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, and that's, I feel like I've learned something, so I'm sure that mm-hmm. our listeners have too. And so it's good information, and it's good to know all the different moving parts within the organization.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's helpful for educators and parents alike. So we appreciate you coming out and stop by anytime, and we can chat more about some of the things you do.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.